4. How did I fix the sword? What was the red circle in the picture? Why were there so many ants? Those were the questions that plagued me as I clambered back out of the ocean. "Master, how was it?" Queenie asked me as I emerged from the sea. "It was fine," I shrugged. "I'm honestly not sure what to make of it." "I think it means he needs to fix his sword," Zamiya said, as she emerged from the water and came over to me. "Yeah, it looked really powerful in the cave," Eliphili added, as she swept some water from her brow with one hand. "Of course he should fix his sword," Queenie snorted. "My master needs to have pristine weapons and armor, ones that truly befit his station." She turned her attention back to the princesses. "By the way, what does the thing you had Master say mean before you all jumped in the ocean?" They looked at each other and laughed before Zamiya said, "I'm not really sure. It is a word from the ancient language. We just say it before big jumps and all." "Yeah, it's just nonsense," Eliphili giggled. "It's all in the dive and hitting that little spot."
"So, like Geronimo or something back on Earth?" I couldn't help but smile at them. "That's what we sometimes say when we jump off cliffs or into a big pool or something."
"Then, yes, it would be similar," Zamiya nodded. "Now, shall we head back?"
"I think so." I smiled at her. "Thanks for showing me the cave, by the way. It's definitely one of those more questions than answers things, but I appreciated it nonetheless."
"I am glad you enjoyed it," Eliphili said, as she and her sister took my hands and began to lead me back toward the village. It was time to leave this world. We had been here and accomplished all we could for now. The portal being open was proof of that. Sure, we'd return when Jody figured out how to mine it, but that was a task for another day. There was still so much to do and learn, and I had to continue to gain experience so I could fuck up Zaxxas when he showed his face. If he had a face. I didn't really know what he looked like in person. A video game was one thing, and even there, he'd always been a sort of shadowy, indistinct figure. Did he look like that in real life? Graphics had improved considerably, so maybe Terraforma's depiction of him was perfect. Either way, I still wanted to look up close at him and get a sense of him because his presence sort of hung over everything. And I'd always found that things were scarier when I couldn't properly picture them. Not that picturing an indistinct shadowy figure was better. Also, it sort of didn't matter what he looked like. Zaxxas was more of a future problem, and if I focused on him now, I'd go crazy. Instead, it would be better to focus on the things I had to do right now. Melanie, the buxom blonde catgirl scientist, had already gotten a hold of the Amorphe samples we'd sent her and was busily adapting them to Ares in her lab in the halls of research. Once that was done, I'd have to go to the planet and seed the life there like I had with the algae we'd used to convert the atmosphere into something breathable. We also needed to plant the dungeon core in a planet. And that, too, would take time, especially since the thing needed to be babysat until the dungeon was nearly totally done. If I just planted it in a planet and left, I risked it going all sorts of sideways. There was also the mining of this planet and helping the Amorphe get more technologically sound, which would be hard without fixing the mining problem first, since they wouldn't be able to level up the class of their planet until they established some substantial amounts of trade. Once that happened, we'd be able to procure items cheaper and easier from the bazaar. Finally, I had to figure out what was going on with the Destroyer King stuff. I'd acquired two pieces, the sword and the gauntlet, and while I wasn't sure how many pieces there were, the drawing let me know that there were at least a few more, like those sweet pauldrons. "Is there anything else we can get you?" Zamiya said. And I'll be honest, the sound of her voice shocked me back to reality, because I'd been lost in my own thoughts for the entire walk back.
"I don't think so,"
I said with a smile as we entered the village. "Just a heartfelt goodbye."
"We're definitely going to miss you," Eliphelai said as she hugged me.
"You better come back."
"Yes,"
Zamiya added as she joined her sister in hugging me.
"I will wait for your return. Hopefully it is sooner rather than later."
There was no question we would be back, but there was also no question that it was time to go. Still, I was ready to get back to work and get focused on the next few tasks I needed to do. Back on Earth, I would have done that during my late-night runs, where I would look up and see the stars sprawled out above me. Now, I was among those stars and could traverse them with ease. It was kind of incredible when I thought about it.
"We'll let Jody know you're returning," Zamiya said, as I contacted Gobta and Mai Hudson over our link and let them know they would be going back into my auric pocket until I could resummon them on the other side.
"Thanks, I appreciate that."
I looked back at Queenie and nodded. "You ready?"
"As ready as I ever am,"
Queenie said with a slight frown.
"I don't much enjoy the pocket."
"It won't be for long," I said.
Then I stepped through the portal and had my composite particles ripped apart and reassembled in the halls of research. After quickly summoning Queenie, Gobta, and Hudson back from the auric pocket, I looked at them in turn.
"You know, I don't say this a lot, but thanks for all your help on Amorphi. I couldn't have done it without you guys."
I smiled at them.
"I am just happy to be of service, Master,"
Queenie said, though her cheeks were pink.
"As am I,"
Hudson nodded fervently.
"Being around you is all the reward I could ever ask for."
"It's okay," Gobta shrugged. "Better than being dead, that's for sure."
"I suppose that is true," I said with a laugh. "I'm going to go check on Melanie and Veronica, so you guys are free to do whatever you like for now."
"Thank you, my liege,"
Hudson said as he turned toward Queenie.
"What shall we do?"
Hudson's words were cut off as Gobta grabbed both him and Queenie by the arms.
"Come on, we're going to train in the training room,"
he began dragging them away.
"We all need to get stronger if we're going to help our liege face Saxus. Besides, I want to try out my new ring, and you,"
he glanced at Hudson,
"need to test out your teapot."
Leaving them to their devices, I made my way toward Melanie's laboratory. It wasn't a far walk, and as I traveled through the new pristine halls of research, I couldn't help but feel like it was good to be back. After all, while this wasn't my system, it still felt like it was my home base. But maybe that was just because the people I cared for lived here. Speaking of which...
"Hey, Melanie. Long time no see,"
I said as I knocked on the open door to her lab, which had the opposite effect of what I wanted, because she leapt straight into the air and her tail poofed up.
"Oh, Janice, Garrett, you scared the nightlights out of me,"
she said as she whirled to face me, one hand clutched over her heaving chest. The blonde cat girl was a bit disheveled, and if I didn't know better, I'd have almost thought she'd slept in her lab coat or eaten in it, because I swore those looked like ketchup or mustard stains.
Sorry, I said a bit sheepishly. I actually tried to not do that.
Well, it didn't work.
She laughed.
But since you're here, I suppose you want to know where we stand on the protozoa.
That is exactly what I came to find out. I grinned as I moved beside her.
It's nice to know you like me for my brain, she said, as she swept a lock of blonde hair out of her face and tucked it behind a cat ear. Anyway, this is where we're at.
She waved a hand, and a darkened screen to my left turned translucent, revealing what looked like several petri dishes with glowing text above them. Unfortunately, while I could understand basic biology, chemistry, and whatnot, this text was written in a language I couldn't understand.
So, what's that mean?
I said with a flick of my wrist.
I can't make heads nor tails of that.
Oh, yeah. Melanie flushed. I've been using felinese. It's much more conducive to scientific research than basic, which was what the system used before.
Weird, I said, as I stared at the strange symbols. They almost reminded me of the Asian kanji languages, but, well, different. You'd think they would auto-translate.
Yeah, also my fault. I turned off the auto-translate features to conserve computing power. I figured I'd be the only one reading it, so...
She flushed a bit brighter.
I can turn it back on.
She left the sentence hanging in a way that made me think she didn't actually want to do that. It's fine. I waved it off.
Just tell me what I'm looking at.
Nothing too complicated. Melanie gestured at the petri dishes.
Basically, I'm slowly changing the chemistry of the dishes so that it gets closer to that of Ares with each generation.
She smirked.
And adding a healthy amount of pixie dust while I'm at it to speed things up. It's a bit more complicated than last time, though, because I'm sort of trying to create a few different strains so we can mimic what would have happened on a normal planet where several types evolved in the different biospheres. That way, we can try introducing them to the different areas within Ares.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, I said, as I took that all in. Like what we did with the cyanobacteria to create the atmosphere.
Exactly,
she beamed at me.
You aren't just a pretty face.
I try to pay attention, I shrugged. So, when will it be ready? Because if it is going to take a long time, then I'm going to go plant my dungeon core.
How long do you need for that?
The cat girl inquired, as I saw math spin behind her eyeballs. That might take a month or more, I shrugged. It's hard to tell, but it won't be a short time.
This won't take that long.
Melanie shook her head.
Maybe a week, at most.
Oh, I nodded. Guess I'll, go find something worthwhile to do until then?